shoulder pad camera.
Praise God. I love y'all. And I'm telling you, Hazel and I have been working with the youth, the teenagers here in the church, you know, for the last, I don't know, since we've been here, year and a half, 2 years. How long has it been? I don't know, 2 years. It hadn't been very long, don't seem like, but it's been a blessing. And the pastor, he gives quite a bit of notice. He told me today at noontime, pretty good notice. And that's fine, because we had we always have something going on with the teenagers, that a lesson and a study and a teaching so that's what I'm going to bring tonight. So pretend you're teenagers, okay? All of you, just think back. Pretend you're teenagers. No. You need to stay where you're at. You're all right. We don't let them sit on the back row. We set them around us in bean bags. So now we had a Walmart truckload of bean bags. We could set you all around the front here and let you sit on them. Because now they sit on bean bags. And the only thing you're not going to get, we get them Yoo-Hoos and donuts. So we don't have enough Yoo-Hoos and donuts to go around. I'm sorry, but you're going to miss out on that tonight too. So other than that, we're doing fine. Now, what we usually do when we're back there, a lot of times I'll give a little, I call them nuggets. Eat chicken nuggets, you know. They're usually pretty good. Some of them's not so good. Just depends on where you get them from. But I'm going to give a little bit of something here. It's not going to be very long. And it shouldn't take over an hour, maybe two. But y'all was going to come off of one little page of notes, two scriptures. So praise God. No, I never. These young people, we adore them. I'm telling you, they're just like they are our children, and it may belong to somebody else, but they're ours too. And we thank a whole lot of them. It's a pleasure to be able to work with them, because I'm telling you, these young people are special. They're not unchurched. They're churched young people, and that makes our job a lot easier. And we've had some come and have some go. We've had some move away. We actually had some that didn't like what I was teaching and decided they didn't want to come back because I taught them the truth. And they didn't want to hear the truth, so they didn't come back. They didn't want to hear what God's words had to say about what was going on and what they thought they wanted to do in their life. So that's the way the God's work works. Some people accept it. You know, you cast your seed. Some of it falls on good ground and some of it doesn't. But you cast it anyway. And the Lord takes care of the rest. So praise God. Do the best you can with what the Lord gives you. You know, I was looking through a few scriptures. I actually had some of this done a few weeks ago. And, of course, I've been out sick. I've been working. And some of it, I hadn't been able to get to some of it. I wanted to read a scripture. And it's about Job. Job chapter 1, verse 8. And it's not going to take me long to do this. And Hazel and I work together on these subjects, and sometimes we'll tag team off. So after I get my hour, I'm going to tag her, and she's going to get the next hour, okay? So we're going to do a tag team on this. But it won't take me long. Job chapter 1, verse 8. And then the Lord said to Satan, and he was talking to Satan in this particular verse, and he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now, let me ask you this. Well, let's stop right there. Have you ever been in a crowd or in an audience and the person on stage was calling people up? Said, "Hey, I want you to come up here on stage and work with me." I call them out by name or pointing to them and call them up on stage. And maybe you were sitting out there and said, "I hope you don't call my name. Oh, don't let him call me, Lord." And you wanted to be invisible just for a minute. You could just slump, you kind of slump down in your seat, or you get behind somebody where you can't see you. Oh, boy. That's the one they pick out. I'm going to pick out that. They look a little nervous. Well, How would you like for God to be picking you out and pointing you out to Satan and say, Satan, which one you want me to point at here? Satan, this is my servant Job. Satan, look over here. You've been roaring around, roar like a roaring lion, seeking who you may devour. Look at my servant Job. Look at my servant Job. And what did God say about him? He said, there's no one on earth like him. Ain't nobody else like my servant Job. Nobody. Nobody on earth. Now, I'm reading from the NIV, in case it don't match up exactly with the King James word for word. But I read a lot of NIV to the young people, so that's a lot of scripture that they use. And so I don't want to confuse them. So there's no one on earth like him. Nobody. He's the best there is. And he said he's blameless and upright. God was bragging on him a little bit, wasn't he? He was proud of Job. He said, he's my servant. He's my servant. And you know, Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's our advocate to the Father. And he's saying the same thing about you. If you mess up, if you stump your toe, if you stumble, if you do something a little wrong, Jesus said, but Father, this is my brother. This is my sister. They're mine. I shed my blood for them. There's nobody else like them on the earth. I chose him. I chose her. Jesus chose you. So you're special in the eyes of God. And he said, God said about Job, he said, he's a man who fears God and shuns evil. God was really proud of Job. Praise God. God called Job out and he brought him to Satan's attention and he offered him up for testing. And you know why he did? Because God trusted Job's heart. And he trusted Job's strength because he knew him, just like Jesus knows you. He knows your heart and he knows your strength. And he'll not put you through any test that you can't survive. And the reason I was bringing this message, this little short message tonight, is because we've got one teenager that's been to her last day of high school. Woo! Sitting on the very back row back there. She's been to her last day of high school. She'll never go to high school as a student again. She's through. Been 12 years. Does it seem like it's been that long? No, it doesn't. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Yep. She's highly intelligent. I'm going to brag on her a little bit, just like God bragged on Job. Highly intelligent, giant slayer. And God knows her heart. And he knows her faith. She's getting ready to go to college up in Elizabeth City, Mid-Atlantic University, Christian University, Mid-Atlantic Christian University. And I am sure that there's going to be times when she's going to be tested, because that's the way life is. It's tells you in Scripture that you'll go through trials and tribulations and that you'll be tested. All of us are. It don't matter if we're 18 or if we're 80. We go through tests. Don't we, Miss Dorothy? We go through tests, don't we? Sometimes it takes 40 days and 40 nights before we get through it. So we all get tested. But God knows our faith and God knows our heart. And I want to leave with this Scripture. This is for you. It's in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And it says, so when trials come your way, remember God knows your faith and strength. No, the Scripture says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. plans to give you hope and a future. That's Jeremiah 29:11. Remember that scripture. That is a powerful scripture. So keep your eyes open to God's plan for your life. Now,
can you see me? Well, I didn't know what he had, and he didn't know what I had, so we're going to see if it comes together. It may be a pot of goulash, or it may be one fine dessert. You know, no matter how old you get, the Word of God never gets old. And it's just like an onion. Once you get that old skin off of it, that's absolutely worth nothing. You get down to the meat of the onion, and you all know that an onion has layers. And as you remove one layer, you get down, there's still, it's still an onion. It smells like an onion. It tastes like an onion. Well, that's the way the Word of God is. And thank Him so much that He does. He's constantly revealing something. And I don't know about you, but, well, I'm old. I'm 61 years old, and I can read a scripture that I have heard for years and years, and it's like, duh, the light came on, and I really heard what it said. And I was sitting in service one Sunday, and the pastor was reading the scripture I'm going to tell you here. And as he started to read it, I got a new look on it. And I don't know what he preached, what his message was, because I was off in another world, you know, just being God. Because he gave it to me from a different perspective. And this is what I was going to give my kids tonight. So if you have your Bible or your electronic devices, and I probably need to correct something. He said that she had been to school 12 years. Well, back when we came through school, there were only 12 grades. I think there's 13 now. They added a kindergarten in it. So, but if you would turn to John chapter 11. And those of you who know your Bible, you know what this chapter is about. This is about Lazarus. And we're going to start basically at verse 38. Now, you know that Mary and Martha and Lazarus were brothers and sisters, and Lazarus became sick, and he died. Well, they had called for Jesus to come, and Jesus couldn't get there quite yet, and Lazarus died. So we're going to go to, well, let's go to verse 39. You know, I've always wanted to do that. A pastor will tell you, well, let's start at verse 12. No, let's back up to 10. So I did it, except I went down one. Now, here Jesus has finally made it back with Mary and Martha, and Lazarus has died, and he's been buried. And they go to the cave or to the tomb where he's at. And in verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days." In other words, she's saying, "Man, what are you thinking? Once we roll that stone away, it's going to smell, you know." And why? What magic thing about 4 days? What if he'd been dead 3 days or 2 days? The fact was, he was dead. Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And he's questioning her, you know, "Haven't I not told you? Just pay attention here and see what I'm about to do." Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, and this, I have heard this and read it, but one day I finally realized. Now he looks up to the Father. He says, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Now nowhere up here have we heard Jesus pray, have we? But he's already done it. He's already prayed. And then the next verse, "And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of a people which stand by, I said it." that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, he's already prayed in his heart to the Father. And he knows that the Father's going to answer his prayer. But why did he pray aloud? Because of the people that were there. That's why he did it, so that they could see it. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. And as the pastor that day began to read this scripture, I know I heard God said, isn't this just like my church? If we look up at verse 39, he looks at them and he says, take ye away the stone. Now here we got Jesus. He's raised somebody from the dead, Lazarus. Do you think he couldn't just look at it and say, over there, and that stone be rolled away? What is the significance of telling them to roll that stone away? Well, you know, we as individuals and myself, sometimes what does a stone represent? If you put a stone in front of an opening, that means nothing's getting out and nothing's getting in. This could be me, it could be you, it could be the church, it could be our heart. When it becomes stone, nothing's going to penetrate it. And he's saying, you move it. Okay, and then I love this one, verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. People, if you are a Christian, church, we have been called forth from death. When the Holy Spirit came unto you and you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were called forth from death. You will no longer be separate. Death will not separate you from God. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. But we all come forth, okay, and we're there. We've been called forth, and God has called forth the church. Well, we come forth. Now, don't you think, too, if Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead, couldn't he have made all those grave clothes fall off? Who had put them on Lazarus? Man had put it on. Well, when I look at that as me and as you and as the church, God has called us forth, and he's called the church forth. But we've come out like this. And it was like, Lord, I would really like to do something for you, but I'm afraid. So we stand here at the door. I'd really like to do something, but I'm afraid. And I'm speaking to myself. Or what if I get up there and I just mess up? Well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather get up here and mess up for the Lord than to sit on that pew all day long and all I do is heat up that pew. Well, people might talk about me. Well, guess what? They are. They're going to talk about you if you do it. They're going to talk about you if you don't do it. So I'd rather be talked about for doing something for God than to be talked about for sitting there on the bench. I'm not a Quaker. I don't sit there and wait for something to happen. So God is calling us all forth. And it said, and there was a napkin about his face. Now your face, the napkin, I feel like that represents what's in your mind. A lot of times we can't go forward because of right here. The biggest battle you'll ever fight is between your ears. What you think. And the devil's going to make you think that it's, oh, they're talking about you. Well, you know, you're too dignified to get up there and make a fool out of yourself. Well, what if you read and you misquote something? You know, the back of the Bible, it says that you're not supposed to change, not even the dot or tittle. Well, that's not what that means anyway. If you'll get up and if you'll do what the Lord has called you to do, he'll give you the words. And I'm not going to tell you it's going to be real easy. And this morning you talked about, you know, don't give up. Maybe it's time for your blessing. You're right there at it. All you got to do is reach out and get it. All you got to do is let go. Let those grave clothes fall. He's been dead for 4 days. Them things stink. It's time to let go of it. And there's a lot of junk in our lives that we need to let go of. Somebody has said something about you. They've hurt your feeling. Well, get over it. Look what they did to Jesus. They crucified him. At least they've not carried you that far. And as far as I know, it's still against the law to murder. So you don't have to worry about it. But we as a church, I can hear God calling the church forth. What is it that's holding you back? Well, we've never done it that way before. Well, we've always done it this way. What is binding you up? Is it fear? Do you know what fear is? Fear is false evidence appearing to be real. That's all it is. If God tells you it's so, then it's so. It doesn't matter what anybody says. But it's time that God's people get out of the doorway. We need to let go and let God, and we need to get on with the business for the Lord. He needs an army. And you know, it doesn't matter how many men or women are in that army. What matters is what's on the inside of you. It's the might that's in you. It's not the number. And in this day and time, with everything that's going on in our schools, politics, it's time that somebody said, you know, let them talk about me. Let them do whatever. But I know what my God is doing, and I'm going to stand up for him, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to tell the world what he's done for me. Has God done anything for you? Has he? You know what? You can't talk about something you don't know anything about. And that's all you got to do. People say, well, I'm afraid to witness. Tell them what you know. That's all you can tell. So my word I'd like to leave with you tonight is, church, come forth. It's time that the body of Christ came forth. And everything, the bondage that you got on you is put there by man. It's not put there by God. So it's time to let go and be loose. And that's it.
That was some awesome word. Yeah, that was a good wrestling match, too. Who was it? Dusty Rhodes died this week. The atomic elbow. Well, y'all both just put an atomic elbow on the devil's head. Bam! Bam! That's right. God is awesome. That's an all the time. That's an on-time word. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God is so awesome, and he works for us in so many ways that we don't even see him working. Amen. That's what's so awesome is the Bible says if we deny him, he won't deny himself. Amen. And he shows up in some of the most opportune times, and he's dressed in the wrong kind of clothes. And we don't recognize him. Sometimes he's wearing overalls. Amen. Sometimes he's coming in and he's actually one of your friends, and you don't realize that God's got his hand on him helping you. Amen. Sometimes even comes from people you don't even recognize. Amen. We were talking about the raising people up and all that. And I remember one night there was a guy in my church having such a hard time. Man, he was having a hard time. And out of nowhere, this guy with long white hair come and sat down beside him. When it come time for the altar call, he come down and prayed. And that man with that long white hair and that long beard went and prayed with him. And all of a sudden, he wasn't there. And so after the service, the guy asked me, said, who was that guy? I said, I've never seen him before. He said, where'd he come from? I said, I don't know. He was sitting beside you when I looked out there. He said, where'd he go? I said, well, he was praying for him, and all of a sudden he's gone. And I said, just thank God. Just thank God that he sent you somebody. Amen. So just keep trusting. Just keep trusting. Keep moving forward. There is going to be tests and trials, but God's right there. Amen. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for Keith and Hazel, Lord. They gave some on-time word tonight, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're working in their lives, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're working all our lives. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us, God, to stand strong in the trial, to stand strong as we face the enemy. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, all things are possible with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I heard another acrostic for fear. One is fear is forget everything and run. Or face everything and resist. Amen. So I've seen a lot of y'all facing stuff and resisting. And you know what? That tickles God.